Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our New Year morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page, as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. Our reading today is taken from Matthew 2, verses 13 to 18, and the talk is by Mike Gillingham, a lay reader at St. James, entitled The Gift of Christmas, Joy.
The New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinities who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then, when what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled, "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Amen.
Well, it's good to see you all at the start of this new year. Christmas is over. Well, I know you've been out of practice. Be no panto for a few years, and you're probably half asleep. But just get ready, Christmas is over. Thank you. Of course, this is only the eighth day of Maids of Milking, in case you're trying to remember the song. But more important than that, Christmas is forever. Like a dog, not just for Christmas. Christmas is not just for this time of the year. Christmas is forever. That gift of Jesus, God with us, is still here and now. I wonder if one or two could share, I'm getting you to do a lot of work, what your favourite things were this Christmas. I'm sorry, I'm going to leave the camera for a moment, and hopefully some people have favourite things from Christmas.
I got a new iPad after 15 years.
Dear me, you must have had a bad Christmas.
I got a new wedding ring because mine, I couldn't get it on my finger anymore. But it's the same format than the one I got 21 years ago.
Spending time with all the family in one house. It was chaotic but wonderful.
Midnight Mass was mine. Midnight Mass. It was lovely.
Making Christmas stockings and filling them for our three Ukrainian folk who are living with us and sharing Christmas Day with them.
Well, I had a few. And if food came first, well, perhaps you know me anyway. But if I had to give the real message of Christmas, I think it is these familiar words. Don't often think of them as a Christmas message, but it is. That is the message of Christmas, that God so loved that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the point of Christmas. Just going to share with you a little history. About 50 years ago, I met a girl, and I rather liked her. So I gave her two rings. The shiny one with sapphires and diamonds was a promise that I would marry her. If you like to think of it, God's engagement ring was the message of the prophet. Just in this chapter of Matthew, there are a number of prophecies, which you can read there. And if I wanted to give you all the prophecies, all the promises that God would come in Jesus, your dinners would be spoiled. Again and again, that promise, so often in the Old Testament. Think of the traditional lessons and carols. You may have heard that somewhere on the telly this Christmas. Always the promises. The engagement ring, followed by a wedding ring. And that's when I kept my promise. And it's round to symbolize that our marriage will go on as long as we last. Christmas is God's wedding ring. He comes down, and the promise will last far longer than any human life. God kept his promise. Jackie gave up her friends and career to be with me, although she was later got many new friends and restarted her career. But Jesus left everything. If you look at this map, he started in Bethlehem, in poor circumstances. He then goes right to the north, he then goes right to the south, to Egypt, a hard journey. And just think of people in exile. We've had that reminder of people from the Ukraine. He had to flee from very real dangers too. And no doubt he found it hard to make friends, as anybody who's moved will remember. He later went to Nazareth, and the name that he's given a Nazarite is an insult. It's the people from, well, I better not say where we where we think. But certain accents don't encourage us, do they? I remember hearing that firms use Scottish accents to give a feeling of trust and authority. I don't know whether you feel what you feel about your accent. And there are certain towns that are near here that, again, I won't mention because I've got friends there. And I want to keep them. But he would have had an accent that made him stand out. And he would have found it difficult to make friends, moving to new places all the time. And he knew what it's like to be hungry. And he knew what it's like to be afraid. And he knew what it's like to be hated. And he died for us. God loves you. He loves me. God loves the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I'm going to share something with you. I haven't met many hymn writers. I don't suppose you have. But as a teenager, I was introduced to Bishop Frank Horton. Now, he became Bishop of East Sichuan in China in 1937. And just about as he arrived, the news reached him that the communists had taken over Anhui province, which is just to the north of Sichuan, the neighboring province, and these two American missionaries had been beheaded by the communists. Wonder what your reaction would have been if you'd just become bishop of the neighboring province. Well, his was that he went on foot and on rickety buses and visited the whole province. It's reckoned he traveled about 1,300 miles. And if you have seen wild pandas on films, you've got some idea of how mountainous that area is. This was not 1,300 miles like John of Groats to Land's End or something. This was real hard slog, and it took him a long time. And while he was there, it comforted him, this verse from 2 Corinthians. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And he clung to that as he walked that distance. In 1949, he and pretty well all the other Western missionaries left because they'd become a danger to their fellow Christians. They'd be encouraged persecution. And when in 49 he left, it was reckoned there were about 1 million Chinese Christians. It's difficult to estimate the number now. The Chinese government estimate 38 million. But it's probably nearer 90 to 100 million. Unfortunately, they're still persecuted by the Chinese communists. So there's an encouragement for you. If people say the church is dying, they don't know the world picture. And God can take a small number and increase them beyond. And if I have a hope for this year, it would be that. But from that verse, Bishop Horton wrote a hymn that we're going to sing now. So if I could have the help of the music team, please.
Oh, no.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.